or an illness, with about 220,000 new cases occurring each year. Believe it or not, you can test negative for Lyme and still be infected. Many victims of Lyme report never seeing a bullseye rash, and it can be very difficult to diagnose because it mimics other illnesses, such as multiple sclerosis, ALS, and Alzheimer's. To learn more, go to www.LymeDiseaseAssociation.org.
We have hit the midway mark of the Viva La Mock radio program. Appreciate you hanging in, or maybe you just tuned in because you're like, dude, you played boring stuff for the first 2 hours. It's that last 2 hours that you're rocking. Speaking of rocking, you are rocking WRCT Pittsburgh. My name is still Paul, and it is that show called Viva La Mock. I have a WRCT radio and music calendar to get to right now. Before I get to the either of these calendars, I got to remind you that Row House Cinema joins you in supporting WRCT. Row House Cinema is a single-screen theater located in the historic Lawrenceville neighborhood of Pittsburgh. Each week, they choose a new movie theme. They show classic, cult, foreign, animated, fun, and fascinating films in a magical setting. Their concession stand features natural popcorn with real butter, craft beer, and vegan options. Row House Cinema is located at 4115 Butler Street in Lawrenceville. For more information, you can go to rowhousecinema.com or call 412-904-3325. Let's turn our attention to this WRCT music and radio calendar. We're going to start things off with the radio calendar. Some events I'm familiar with that are going on around town. For example, Thursdays from 4 to 8 and Saturdays from noon to 5 at the Carnegie Museum of Art, they are hosting Inside Out. It's celebrating Pittsburgh's rich cultural landscape with performances, summer jams, art activities, food, drinks, and more. Inside Out extends the museum experience outdoors in a safe, physically distant environment. Enjoy live performances, DJs, art-making food trucks, local beers, kid-friendly treats, and more. Again, that's Thursdays. Thursdays from 4 to 8 and Saturdays from noon to 5 down on Forbes Avenue in Oakland. Also, don't forget over at the Warhol, they're doing the Taste of Grace exhibition. We're talking about Grace Jones, the groundbreaking musician, model, actress, and performer. She is unapologetically androgynous, theatrical, and inventive. Of course, Warhol and Jones, they met in the mid-70s and remained lifelong friends. The exhibit actually highlights Jones as a cultural sensation and includes portraits of by Warhol and over 30 photographs and dozens of archival items. Find out more information at warhol.org. You can always visit the Warhol down on Sandusky Street on the north side, north shore, whatever they call that these days. This exhibit goes on now through the 29th of November. A couple things happening in September. For example, the Pittsburgh Irish Fest is coming back. It's the 30th annual Celtic celebration. The lineup features new bands, well-known favorites, local Irish dance groups, and so much more on four stages. It's at the Lots at Sandcastle in the Homestead area. It is September 10th through the 12th, which is a Sunday, a Friday through Sunday. For more information, pghirishfest.org. You got the Irish Fest. What about the Scottish Fest? Yeah, well, we call that the Ligonier Highland Games, and the 62nd annual Highland Games is happening out at Idlewild Park in Ligonier. Now, that is Saturday the 18th. It's the following weekend. It's a festive celebration of Scottish culture. You can see Scottish music, traditional games, drumming, traditional food, dancing, crafts. It's fun for the whole family. Gates open at 8 a.m. For a full schedule of events, go to LigonierHighlandGames.org. And don't forget about the Lawrenceville Farmers Market, which happens each and every Tuesday at Arsenal Park in Lawrenceville. It's from 3 to 7, rain or shine. There are tons of vendors. It's a good time for good food. More information can be found at, just email market@lunited.org, or you can call 412-802-7220. That's my WRCT radio calendar. If you have an event to include on this calendar, what you have to do is send it to us in an email at radio-calendar@wrct.org. Let's turn our attention now to that thing I call the WRCC Music Calendar, which I'm guessing in the month of September is going to be a very fluid music calendar because things are changing, you know? Kiss, the day of their show, it made national headlines, had to postpone their Pittsburgh show this past week. Why? Because Paul Stanley came down with COVID. So we hope he's doing better. And since he was vaccinated, I'm sure his symptoms will be milder because that's what happens when you're vaccinated. You can still get COVID. You can still pass COVID on. But the chances of you being in a hospital respirator, very slim. Very slim. It has nothing to do with my music calendar. So yes, I know the program director is knocking on the window going, music calendar, Moxer, music. Yes, yes. Okay, going to the music calendar. Music calendar. Here we go. Let's see what's coming up in the next few days, weeks, all that. I don't even know what day it is today. Oh, they, wait, scrolling. Keep that mouse a scrolling. All right, here we go. Here's some shows happening, apparently. Murder Junkies in town on Friday, the 3rd of September, playing Preserving Underground. The Oaks Theater is hosting Pure Gold that same evening, and the Tambritzins are doing a free show at South Park Amphitheater. No Bad Juju down at Vinosky Winery in Ross Traver on Saturday the 4th. Doobie Brothers are out at Star Lake and Terrapin Flyer at Thunderbird on that day. Waxahachie with a Katie.
RCT Pittsburgh, meaty and full of flavor since 1949.
So I was not going to talk about this because I genuinely didn't think that it would need debunking, that it would need a discussion. But sadly, it does, because there is a new ivermectin. And again, study. I hate to use the word study, and you'll see why shortly, because really what we're talking about is a conference abstract. But there is a new purported ivermectin study, which all sorts of right wingers, including Jordan Peterson and others, have been promoting and saying, look, here's the proof. Here's the proof that ivermectin, this cheap drug, is good for preventing death from COVID. They've been covering it up and we got it. We got the information. However, even the author of the paper says that's not what the paper says. We have retracted the paper. And there are now actual better studies on this matter, and people need to stop pointing to his paper as proof that ivermectin works to prevent death from COVID. Now, as many of you might know, if we want to test whether a medication or treatment is worth using against a particular disease or condition, the gold standard is a double-blind randomized controlled trial, which compares the treatment you're testing against the standard of care at the time, meaning the best known treatment that's available at the time. So for ivermectin, you would take a group of people. You would ensure that there are no differences between the groups in terms of characteristics, or that you've equalized or adjusted for those differences in characteristics. You'd give half ivermectin. You'd give the other half the standard of care. The doctors shouldn't know who's getting what. The patients shouldn't know who's getting what. And you compare the outcomes. Does one group have a different outcome than the other? We actually have an RCT, randomized controlled trial, on ivermectin, as I told you about back in February. That study is called Efficacy of Ivermectin Treatment on Disease Progression Among Adults with Mild to Moderate COVID-19 and Comorbidities. That study, a good study, a properly done study, found that ivermectin doesn't work for treating COVID, for preventing death from COVID. So we had that study. It was a very good study, and we thought it was finally time to put the issue to bed. But there is a new study, but it's not really a study. It's a conference abstract, and it's actually months old based on even older data, which is being wildly distorted to claim that ivermectin is extraordinarily efficacious for preventing COVID deaths. Now, as a reminder, I would love it if that was the case, because ivermectin is really cheap. If ivermectin were really effective at preventing death from COVID, I would be thrilled. I have no ideological horse in this race whatsoever, but we have one good RCT that says ivermectin doesn't work. We've got to be really sure we have something that gives us a different perspective. Well, a lot of folks on the internet think it does. Dr. John Campbell, who's not a medical doctor, important to remind you, has been pushing the study in a video called Ivermectin More Evidence that nearly has a million views right now. Dr. Pierre Corey, another darling for the ivermectin supporters, has pushed it, tweeting, quote, massive study comparing the mortality rates of patients treated with ivermectin and those treated with remdesivir. Shocker. Large magnitude reduction in mortality. If treated with ivermectin, the United States of pharma rages on. Jordan Peterson pushing the study, tweeting, this should be a bombshell. Treatment with ivermectin is associated with decreased mortality in COVID compared to remdesivir. They are distorting and misusing the report, and even its author says so. The author actually responded to each of these people with comments similar to this one. This comment was a response to Jordan Peterson, where Jakob Efimenko, the first author of this paper, says, quote, hi, Dr. Peterson, first author of the paper. I think the information and data is being crudely misrepresented and misinterpreted. This is an abstract, not peer reviewed, from a conference I presented at. We did not submit the manuscript for a reason. Weak evidence. Okay. If it really were shown to work, that would be great. But that's not what its own author says. This conference abstract is called this is from the 8th International Meeting on Emerging Diseases and Surveillance. And this is a particular abstract about ivermectin. It is months old, and it is based on data that's even older than that. Since then, we've gotten an actual randomized controlled trial. This paper is a retrospective study, and it compares people who took remdesivir to people who took ivermectin based on everybody's recollections without even knowing what doses of different things people received. The paper was also withdrawn. The paper was withdrawn. And what people are claiming the study shows is that if you got ivermectin, you're 70% less likely to die than if you got remdesivir. But the problem is, number one, it's a retrospective study looking at stated data from the past about this. They didn't stratify the patients by vaccine status. We don't know whether the same portion of the people who got ivermectin whether the same portion of people who got ivermectin were vaccinated versus the portion of those who got remdesivir were vaccinated. We don't know that. The study didn't look at that. They didn't stratify for seriousness of disease. In other words, it's possible that the people who got remdesivir got it because they were more sick. So, of course, they were more likely to die. This wasn't double blind. It wasn't a randomized controlled trial. Now, if you don't believe me, here's the co-author of the paper saying this, that this is not good for determining whether to use ivermectin. Here's Jakob Efimenko.
Of course, there are also many potential confounders, cofactors and so on, confounders that are difficult to account for in like a large retrospective observational study. You can't account for data that's not collected and confounders mm-hmm. that aren't there. Is that a concern of yours in terms of the strength of the inference from the study?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's something that we elaborate on in the full manuscript that I wrote that we ended up withdrawing because you just don't have the space. You know, you're limited to 400 or 500 words in an abstract. You can't elaborate any of those things if you're trying to convey any kind of point across. But in the full manuscript that we wrote, some of the things that I wrote down here, I'll go over. So limitations, obviously, it's like a retrospective study, so we cannot exclude possibility of confounding factors as just the nature of retrospective studies. Treatment dosage with ivermectin was widely varied. There's no unified protocol. Like, who knows how much ivermectin each patient was receiving, because TriNetX doesn't have a way to, screen for dosages at that time, at least. There was significant limitation for the ability to control for COVID-19 vaccination. Basically, we were unable to do that, and that's something we also wrote in the manuscript. Basically, vaccination status was unaccounted for. because Trinetics was unreliable for that, because, you know, people get vaccines at a gas station here in Florida or like the church or whatever. So pretty much anywhere that doesn't go in your EMR. And also, I think most importantly, we weren't able to stratify patients based on severity of disease at that time. You know, it's very possible that like patients that were receiving remdesivir had a much more complicated course of disease compared to patients receiving ivermectin. I think that's like one of the major confounders of that study.
Yeah, I've seen that discussed a little bit in the discussions.
So that's the author saying, we withdrew it. We withdrew it. It wasn't peer reviewed. We didn't even know what dose of ivermectin people were getting. The study's being misused. There was no control for vaccine status. There was no control for severity of disease. This is not a random critic. This is not, you know, whoever. This is the first author of the paper saying it's not good data. It's old data from a conference in November, and we now have actual RCTs on ivermectin. So just bear this in mind, because you'll go to different subreddits and you'll see it on Twitter. You'll see YouTube videos, people saying, look at this study, withdrawn, non-peer reviewed, conference abstract of a retrospective analysis of data. Don't forget, I would love it if this worked. This paper is not evidence that it does. We have sadly tragic news from Ukraine, where an American journalist has been killed by Russian forces and another journalist has been shot. There were some incorrect things reported about this story, and we're going to correct those. The Jerusalem Post reporting, American journalist killed, another wounded by Russian forces near Kyiv. The slain journalist was identified by Ukrainian police as a 51-year-old U.S. citizen and media correspondent. An American journalist was killed and another wounded by Russian forces in Irpin, near the Ukrainian capital of Kyiv. The killed journalist was identified by Ukrainian police as Brent Renaud, a 51-year-old journalist, filmmaker, and U.S. citizen. While the Ukrainian authorities initially identified Renaud as the New York Times correspondent, he was not in Ukraine on behalf of the Times. So that's an important detail, and the New York Times also putting this out. This doesn't make it any less tragic, but initially it was reported as a journalist working for the New York Times in Ukraine was shot and killed. It happens not to be true. The New York Times putting out a statement saying, we are deeply saddened to hear of Brent Renaud's death. Brent was a talented filmmaker who had contributed to the New York Times over the years, though he had contributed to the Times in the past, most recently 2015. He was not on assignment for any desk at the Times in Ukraine. Early reports that he worked for Times circulated because he was wearing a Times press badge that he had been issued for an assignment many years ago. That's actually really common. I know many, many journalists and reporters who will just use an old press pass. I've done it as well a decade ago. Sometimes it's just hard to get a new press pass, and you just use an old one and that's it. You're just identified as press, and that's basically it. So extremely, extremely tragic story. And it is getting very, very serious there, including not only do we now have journalists who have been killed, but there is also video, which we're not going to play because it's still very unclear exactly what is allowed in terms of footage, on YouTube as well as on Instagram and Facebook and a lot of the platforms we're on. But there is now footage of, from Mariupol, of what appears to be, and it has not been contested at this point, Russian tanks just firing upon a civilian apartment building. Now, will the Russians later say, well, we believed it to be a base of operations for, I don't know. They've not said it yet. And the video has not been contested. So this is all getting very ugly. And in the midst of this, we have conflicting reports. On the one hand, there are reports that progress has been made on a potential serious ceasefire and peace talks between Ukraine and Russia. That's good news if it's true. At the same time, there are reports being widely publicized that Vladimir Putin is now looking to escalate the war, seeking military equipment from China. Could both be true? Sure. It continues to move very quickly. And by Wednesday or Thursday, we should have a sense as to whether the reports of the ceasefire talks getting closer is accurate, because typically those don't take more than a few days from what a number of different experts are saying. We will follow it. Let me know on Twitter at @DPacman what you expect for the week ahead. The David Pakman Show continues to be a community supported program. You're in the community. When I say the community, I'm talking about podcast listeners, YouTube viewers, people watching on Free Speech TV or listening on any of our radio affiliates, watching on our television affiliates, any of you. And we depend on your support through our membership program, which you can find at joinpakman.com. We do an extra show every day for our members. And you can sign up in under a minute with average computer skills at joinpakman.com. There is a fascinating and disturbing exclusive story from Mother Jones. And the story is that Fox News propagandist Tucker Carlson's recent pro-Putin propaganda is so pleasing to Putin. It's so pleasing to Russia that the Kremlin wrote a memo which Mother Jones has obtained. And the memo is the Kremlin directing Russian media to regularly feature Tucker Carlson's content. Now, in a sense, this is perfectly logical. We've been covering for 2 weeks now Tucker Carlson's sort of soft pro-Putin apologia and casting doubt on Ukraine and its leader in ways that are slightly more subtle than just coming out and saying Putin's great, right? I mean, that's not what Tucker is doing, but it's still propaganda so useful to the Kremlin that the Kremlin has noticed and is saying, let's regularly translate and use Tucker Carlson clips on Russian state media. When the enemy sees you as a sort of collaborator, in a sense, you should really step back and think about what it is that you were putting out there. Let's take a look at a little bit of this memo. Again, this is a great story, great investigative work by David Korn and Mother Jones. Leaked Kremlin memo to Russian media. It is, quote, essential to feature Tucker Carlson. The Russian government has pressed outlets to highlight the Fox host's Putin helping broadcasts. There's even a quote from the memo, which says, it is essential to use as much as possible fragments of broadcasts of the popular Fox News host Tucker Carlson, who sharply criticizes the actions of the United States and NATO, their negative role in unleashing the conflict in Ukraine, and the defiantly provocative behavior from the leadership of the Western countries and NATO towards the Russian Federation and towards President Putin personally. This is a 12-page document written in Russian. It sums up Carlson's position. Russia is only protecting its interests and security. The memo even includes a quote from Tucker. And how would the U.S. behave if such a situation developed in neighboring Mexico or Canada? Now, what's missing from that analysis, as we've talked about before, is actually different. It's been, wait a second, for these people that are doing the soft Putin apologia, how would they suggest or imagine the U.S. would react if Mexico or Canada started doing what Russia is doing? And I think it's really important not to get sucked into some of what we sometimes call these philosophical black holes or rhetorical propaganda devices. Imagine, because go back to how Putin justified the start of this invasion. Putin's entire premise was, listen, I mean, in Crimea back in 2014, more recently, when 2 weeks ago at the start of this, Putin recognized the independence of the Donetsk and Luhansk regions. Imagine if Mexico said, I don't know, we're sitting here on the border to the U.S. We're in Mexico and we're looking over at Arizona and we're looking at California and we're looking at Texas. We see a lot of people who look like us, you know, Mexican-Americans. We hear a lot of people who speak our language, Spanish. And some of them, allegedly, want to be part of Mexico. So we recognize the independence of those areas. I don't know, border towns, pick a border town. We recognize the independence of Juarez or whatever. And, you know, just because we don't feel that the Mexican Americans are being treated that well, we're going to send some tanks over as an example. So the idea here of if we were Russia and you, Mexico and Canada did what Ukraine is doing, how would we react? But it completely ignores the similar thought experiment, which you could say is valid or not because the circumstances in Russia and Ukraine are different anyway. But it ignores the analogous situation of, well, what if the U.S. were Ukraine and Canada and or Mexico started behaving like Putin has been in Russia? That one they don't want to talk about. So needless to say, Tucker Carlson's show has become the sort of thing you would kind of expect to see on what I would call soft Russian state media, the stuff that's not like overtly the dictates of the Kremlin, but doing apologia for it. You see a lot of folks associated with the left, although it's not really clear why they're still associated with the left. Glenn Greenwald is an example, Jimmy Dore and others. Increasingly appearing with Tucker Carlson and doing what sort of appears to be a bipartisan apologia, when really what we're talking about here is these are angry contrarian grifters. Tucker Carlson, I don't even know if he believes any of this stuff. Tucker Carlson's expertise is weaponizing the ignorance of his audience with contrarian reactionary rhetoric made to make people afraid or feel like they're questioning the official narrative in a way that makes sense. And of course, questioning the official narrative is a beautiful thing. It's called epistemology, critical thinking, media literacy, evaluating why we believe the things we believe. But these folks have really become the prototypical example of useful idiots. Now, when I say useful idiot, I don't want to use the term idiot as a pejorative. Useful idiot as a term has a very specific meaning, which is a useful idiot is someone who ends up propagandizing for a cause without fully comprehending the cause's goals or that they are even necessarily doing it. And then they end up being cynically used by the leaders of the cause. I mean, by the definition of useful idiot, it is impossible to argue that Tucker Carlson is not a useful idiot here. In this case, Tucker is propagandizing for Putin, whether he realizes it or not. That's the beauty of the term. He doesn't matter. He may not realize it. He may just be saying, what's going to fire up my audience? The same way at one point it was claiming the FBI did the January 6th riots. Does Tucker really believe that? I don't know. But he's targeting his audience for ratings and to kind of keep this persona of I'll tell you what's really going on. And that propagandizing for Russia is being cynically used by the Kremlin, which we now know because of this memo. And I don't know if the right wingers who watch Tucker find themselves in a pickle. You know, you either stand by Tucker and you end up sort of softly supporting Putin, or you have to reject the guy that you believed was giving you the truth all along. So quite the cognitive dissonance that they must be experiencing. And in fact, the next segment is going to be about exactly the type of pro-Putin conspiratorial apologia that we've been seeing from Tucker Carlson. So let's now give an example, right? We spoke in the last segment about this leaked memo. Thanks to Mother Jones, we learned about this memo in which the Kremlin is directing Russian media outlets to use segments of Tucker Carlson's program because it's absolutely great for them in their goal of justifying the Russian invasion of Ukraine. So now Russian state media is being directed by the Kremlin. Use clips of Tucker Carlson. They're doing it. They love it. Okay. Here is a new sequence of clips from Tucker Carlson's program. I believe this was Friday night going into the weekend. Tucker Carlson jumped right into these now debunked claims about so-called bio labs in Ukraine. And Tucker goes right into Joe Biden is funding secret bio labs in Ukraine and conducting experiments on highly dangerous pathogens. Let's take a look at the clip.
Last night, we told you that the Biden administration is funding a number of secretive bio labs in Ukraine, labs that are conducting experiments on highly dangerous pathogens. Now, that's not a story, as we told you, that we wanted to do. In fact, we didn't think it could be true. It's so over the top and bizarre. And in any case, the administration had repeatedly and very aggressively denied that they were doing anything like this. And then they attacked anyone who asked questions about it as a tool of Russia. We foolishly assumed that in this one instance, they might be telling the truth.
So these claims have been widely pushed by Russian media. This is like a straight up Russian propaganda story. Tulsi Gabbard fell for it. We're going to talk about that later in the show. And it has really worked to shift the narrative onto something that is not only a distraction, it's also untrue. The United States has worked with Ukrainian labs and labs in all different parts of Europe and around the world on all sorts of public health research, which sometimes includes research on pathogens. This is not like really a big deal. There's no conspiracy. It's not hidden. It's not unusual. It's not secret. The New York Times has a good article on this, and the right is just loving spreading this propaganda. There are biological laboratories in Ukraine. They've been around nearly 20 years. And much like the U.S. has done to all sorts of institutions around the world, the U.S. has provided some funding to a number of institutions with the goal of researching pathogens, preventing the production of biological weapons or knowing how to respond to a potential bioweapons attack, etc. The story that Tucker Carlson and the Fox News milieu and others have misleadingly pushed is based on some remarks from American officials that were misinterpreted as proof that the labs are producing biological weapons or conducting research on biological weapons. There is no proof of that, and the U.S. is certainly not running these labs anyway. So later in the segment, Tucker Carlson, he probably knows that the claim that he made is pretty flimsy. He moves the goalposts, and he ends his monologue sort of implying that even if it's just research on pathogens, it's by its nature suspicious. It started about being, you know, bioweapons and weaponized all this stuff. So then it's just, well, even if they're just researching deadly pathogens, that's suspicious too.
In fact, the U.S. Embassy in Kiev has acknowledged joint American and Ukrainian research on other pathogens, such as hemorrhagic fever virus. Apparently, there's a lot of this going on in Ukraine, funded by the United States. Did you know that? Why Ukraine? We don't know. We can only guess.
Now, by their own stories about the COVID pathogen research labs, remember the whole Wuhan lab story? That's where it came from. It was developed there. COVID escaped or was released or whatever. By their own claims about that, you would think they would realize, well, research into pathogens isn't suspicious in and of itself. And it's certainly not unique to Ukraine. They're the ones who have been saying it's going on in Wuhan. And then the sort of like cherry on top with this Tucker story is he brings on Glenn Greenwald, who kind of like a former leftist, kind of now just a reactionary. Tucker brings on Glenn Greenwald as an expert on detecting deception. I mean, I don't know about that. And Glenn Greenwald echoes Tucker Carlson's completely distorted claims about the biolabs. Take a look.
Last question, maybe you don't know the answer, but why Ukraine? You know, of all the countries you would conduct this kind of research in, you would pick one with like a solid medical infrastructure. You'd pick Germany or Israel or someplace with, you know, first class scientific research going on. You would not pick Ukraine. Why Ukraine?
Unless you viewed Russia as your primary threat, unless you wanted to be provocative toward the Russians, unless you wanted to be in Ukraine developing all sorts of weapons, as we clearly have been. We've been flooding that country with lethal arms for 5 or 6 years. So clearly there's an intention for the United States to be heavily involved in Ukraine. The Russians say their motive is to be threatening and provocative. The United States denies that, but they have their tentacles in Ukraine and have for many years all the time, which is a critical part of the narrative that has been lacking.
That's right. It's fair to ask, what have they been doing in Ukraine? Why are all their kids working for Ukrainian companies? What is going on here? Glenn Greenwald, I appreciate you coming on tonight. Thank you.
Thanks, Tucker.
Now, of course, Tucker asks why Ukraine. And the reality is they're only talking about Ukraine. And this is actual Russian propaganda. Maria Zakharova, spokeswoman for Russia's Ministry of Foreign Affairs, I mean, quite literally a Russian propagandist, said on March 8th, Ukraine has been concealing traces of a military biological program supported by US DOD. The truth is, there are 59 labs around the world that handle deadly pathogens as of a few months ago. And the United States, the U.S. as part of a consortium, which we'll later talk about, sometimes funds research that goes on at these labs. There's nothing unique or special about what's going on in Ukraine. And remember that a bio lab and a bio weapons lab are two very different things. And the story muddles the two, makes debunked claims about operational agreements and funding and all these different things. And in the end, it's all meant to run interference for Putin. And it doesn't change the fact that Putin chose to invade Ukraine. We'll have some of these clips, if you've just been listening, on our Instagram at David Pakman Show. We'll take a quick break and be right back. This weekend, there was another one of these so-called Save America rallies in Florence, South Carolina. Now, I don't need to explain to you the irony that if the people who speak at these Save America rallies were in power, we would destroy America. And case in point, this particular rally in Florence, South Carolina, Donald Trump was speaking in theory in support of 2022 candidates. Now, the funny thing is, Trump can really only talk about himself. So there was about an hour speech, shorter speech than normal, actually only about 50 minutes, I think, because it was cold out. And when it's cold out, Donald Trump's speeches are much shorter. He only allowed the two candidates to speak for like 30 seconds each at the very end. And so it was hard to tell that it was supposedly a rally supporting 2022 candidates. But it doesn't matter because it's all about Trump. Trump was visibly swollen. Both eyes were swollen almost completely shut. I still don't understand why that happens. It's a very strange thing. But here is Donald Trump all but confirming that he's running in 2024. Take a listen.
Take back the Senate, and we are going to take back America. And in 2024, we are going to take back that beautiful, beautiful White House.
Yeah.
I wonder who will do that. I wonder.
Yeah. So listen, clearly at this point, Trump's plan is to run unless he gets sick and can't run. You know, I mean, he's going to be close to 80 years old at the time. No one's health is guaranteed. Statistically speaking, when you're almost 80, your health is less guaranteed than when you're almost 70 and almost 16. OK, I mean, we're talking about math here, but it seems pretty clear that he's going to run if he can. And by pretending or sort of not yet fully announcing it, he wants to avoid having to file financial disclosure reports. That's really the only reason I can think of not to announce it yet. Donald Trump then, beyond parody, calls Joe Biden physically and mentally challenged.
Joe Biden failed to deter Russia's outrageous invasion of Ukraine. You could take the five worst presidents in American history and put them together, and they would not have done the damage Joe Biden has done in just 13 months. We have a president representing our country at the most important time in history who is physically and mentally challenged.
Now, there are real the guy in the glass house should not be catapulting stones at others, I think. I don't know that we need to say more about that. Donald Trump did address the Russian invasion of Ukraine, but not as such. He vaguely refers to conflict in Eastern Europe and how lack of respect is a factor in what's going on. He doesn't really criticize Putin directly. Like he says Putin has been driven to put it together, which is really strange language. It feels as though Trump is kind of trying to support Ukraine without really going after Putin.
And for all the talk about violent conflict in Eastern Europe, and it's a terrible thing, and we're going to help and we're going to do whatever we can, because nobody can look at the bloodshed much longer, what's happening. It's a lack of respect for a lot of people, a lot of things, but what? It's just a total lack of respect. And it happens to be a man that is just driven. He's driven to put it together. And you look at it and it's just so ridiculous and so senseless. And so
so, yeah, I mean, when you hear that, it's like, I think he's against the Russian invasion of Ukraine, but he says the issue is respect and Putin's driven to put it together. Like, why can't he just straightforwardly condemn the actions of Putin and Putin himself? Why is that so difficult? Then, and this is where it really gets to be beyond parody, Trump takes credit for giving military aid to Ukraine, ignoring that he was impeached because he withheld the aid, trying to get Zelensky to give him dirt on Biden and announce an investigation into Biden. Now he wants credit for having given the military aid that he was shamed into giving to Ukraine.
Remember that with Ukraine, I sent the javelins that you see are so effective against the tanks. Biden didn't. And in fact, he ended our last order. Probably it'll get there because everyone realized it was the right thing to do. And Obama, remember Obama, Biden, they sent blankets. I sent javelins and they sent, well, you know what the javelins are, the anti-tank.
Yeah, the javelins. Listen, Trump tried not to send the aid to Zelensky so that Zelensky would announce that he was investigating Joe Biden. And then he was shamed into sending the aid because Colonel Vindman, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, outed all of it. Trump was shamed into sending the aid. Now he wants credit for it. Then, and this is bizarre, Trump calls on his supporters to lay down their lives to fight critical race theory. What? Who would do that? And why would you need to? Who? Critical race theorists are going to kill people who don't like critical race. What?
Anything. Getting critical race theory out of our schools is not just a matter of values. It's also a matter of national survival. Mm. We have no choice. The fate of any nation ultimately depends upon the willingness of its citizens to lay down, and they must do this, lay down their very lives to defend their country. If we allow the Marxists and communists and socialists to teach our children to hate America, there will be no one left to defend our flag or to protect our great country or its freedom.
This is prototypical fascist propaganda, reactionary fascist propaganda. Imagine even believing you might even have the opportunity to die for, or I guess fighting against, critical race theory. And this is one of these examples of critical theory. I am not a critical theorist. I'm not a postmodernist, etc. But much like General Mark Milley said, it's not about wanting to be for or against these things necessarily. It's about studying them and understanding them. Imagine if I said, I'm willing to die against the teaching of existentialism. You would say, David, that's extraordinarily stupid. It's not very different with what they're talking about with critical race theory. They don't know what it is. They know they're against it, but they are weaponizing it. And you end up, the logical conclusion is Trump saying you might have to die against critical race theory. Then remember, Republicans want to reduce the power of the president. But here's Trump saying we should add a new presidential power.
We will pass critical reforms, making every executive branch employee fireable. Fireable by the president of the United States. The deep state must and will be brought to heel.
So Trump openly promoting the deep state conspiracy theory. But remember, they claim to be for small government, against the president having too much power. But he is saying, no. Let's give the president more power to have any federal employee be fireable directly by the president. Trump then seemingly confused about beautiful blood. I don't even know what this means.
And pure, unflinching courage is coursing through our veins of beautiful, beautiful blood, red, white, and blue. We will not.
Beautiful red, white, and blue blood, folks. It is a beautiful thing. So Trump's rally in South Carolina highlighted a few things. Number one, even rallies meant to be for other people really are about Trump. The rally was supposedly for some candidates. They barely spoke until the very end, 30 seconds. And all they basically had to do was say how great Trump was. It's all about Trump. Number two, he clearly is running in 2024 unless something changes with regard to his health, or maybe his ability to win the nomination. If he got wind that he definitely has no shot, maybe he wouldn't run. And number three, he's repeating the same unoriginal stuff at this point. And a big part of his appeal in 2016 was he was saying new things. They were unexpected. They were wild. They were wacky. They no longer are that anymore. But there are still quite literally tens of millions of people who seem okay voting for the same failed talking points, which if Trump were to win, would lead to global humiliation, even greater than when Trump won last time. But also absolutely, sorry, hit my mic there. Absolutely nothing getting done for another 4 years. Let's now look at some of the guests at this completely delusional Trump rally over the weekend. We already looked at Trump's speech in Florence, South Carolina. These are some of my favorite clips. These are people who went to the rally. I guess we kind of have to start with he's sort of just a guest at the end of the day. MyPillow CEO and founder Mike Lindell. He was just roaming around the fairgrounds or the campground or whatever it is where they had the rally. And he has some new claims about 2020. It's not even worth introducing them. Let's just listen to what he had to say.
You know where the most votes in the United States were sold? Did anyone want to guess? California. 1.5 million votes were stolen from Donald Trump.
Folks, they were stolen. They stole them and they are not giving them back.
Second in the nation, the tie between Texas and Florida, almost a million votes each. Okay,
so you're coming for these red states, right?
Alabama, John Merrill, the Secretary of State there. John, I'm coming for you. I'm coming for there. Coming back for the fourth time. We found out where all the crime was there, that in the machines and stuff. In Alabama, 105,000 votes. Ohio, 120,000 votes. Donald Trump won. You want to hear what states we know he won? Here's the states that Donald Trump won for sure.
This should be good.
Sure. He won Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, New Hampshire, Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada. We don't know about. He might have won Maine. He might have won Colorado. There's four others in.
Colorado's a question mark. You know, it's funny. Even if 1.5 million votes in California were stolen, Biden won there by 5.1 million votes. So as absurd, it's like there's three layers of absurdity here. As absurd as the claim is about 1.5 million votes being stolen, as I would say, for which there's no evidence, it also wouldn't even change the results in California. I mean, I don't know. Here is probably my favorite clip from the rally. This is a woman who has been dubbed Gigi the Greek goddess. And she says communism is here in the United States. Now, one of the things I love is she and the interviewer agree communism is here, but they don't agree about how it got here. This is the I love when there's confusion like this.
I'm watching your channel. Gigi, this the Greek goddess, say that communism is here because the American people allowed to bring communism to this country.
We're allowing it to come in this country. We're embracing it, right?
Bravo. And we're allowed.
This is the best. She says allowed. He says we're allowing. And then it just gets more and more confusing. So what do? They call for everyone to be imprisoned for treason.
People, the Americans, not to stand up and fight for our country, the beautiful country of ours. And yes, they stole our elections.
Right.
The big tech, Soros, the demon rats, the Republicans.
The demon rats and Soros stole the election, guys. They stole it.
Oh, they stole elections.
The swamp needs to go.
The swamp right now.
The swamp. I love your shirt. There you go. Turn around. Oh. All right. There you go.
It's okay. Don't be ashamed, baby, because the guy, he is more than that.
Yeah.
He needs to be in jail. For treason, all of them. The Joy and the Hog got to go.
Yes, Biden put him in prison for treason, she says. Then Trump's endorsed candidate to fight against Nancy Mace. Trump wants Nancy Mace out, and instead he's endorsed Kate Arrington. Here, Kate Arrington gives us her four policy priorities. So it's like, oh, hey, we're going to get some policy from Republicans. That's cool. Let's listen. listen to her four priorities.
People of the low country. First things we need to do when we get up there, fire Fauci. Second thing, get rid of the Department of Federal Education. And third thing, start impeaching Biden and open Hunter Biden's laptop.
Yeah, that these are her legislative priorities. Fire Fauci. Fauci's 80 and I'm sure is retiring soon. Number two, get rid of the Department of Education. This is the opposite of what we need. We need to save American public education. Impeach Biden. She doesn't say for what. And four, open up Hunter Biden's laptop. Now, I don't know if she means just like turn it on and open the lid or if she means like take it apart or just access the contents. It's not really clear what she means. And then lastly, just to round out the tone and tenor of this wacky Trump rally in South Carolina. Here's a guy who said he refuses to wear masks, so he's not flying, because if he flew, he would have to punch the stewardess. Wow.
I'm not gonna fly and wear a mask. If I try to get on the plane, I'll have to punch out the stewardess, because I'm not gonna wear a mask. They're not gonna make me. They'll have to, and I'm definitely not getting vaccinated. They'll have to kill me first. They want to vaccinate.
So kill him. He'll die before he gets a vaccine, and he'll punch a flight attendant before he puts on a mask. So really, the caliber of folks that are, they're not going ironically to the rally. Understand that if they went ironically, it would be a totally different thing. But they are unironically at the rally. We're going to take a break. All of these clips will be on our Facebook, facebook.com/DavidPackmanShow. So former Democratic Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard is getting millions of views for a new clip in which she spreads incorrect statements that mirror recent actual Russian propaganda. I'm not using that term as a pejorative. This is actual Russian propaganda that was recently spread by Maria Bakarova, as we spoke about earlier. We talked about this in the Tucker Carlson segment. This is the hypothesis about U.S. funded bioweapons labs in Ukraine. Tulsi Gabbard putting out a video about this has 2.3 million views as of this morning. Let's take a look at the clip, and you'll recognize some of the same misstatements from Tulsi that we were getting on the Putin apologia show Tucker Carlson does on Fox News. Take a look.
Here are the undeniable facts. There are 25 to 30 U.S. funded biolabs in Ukraine. According to the U.S. government, these biolabs are conducting research on dangerous pathogens. Ukraine is in an active war zone with widespread bombing, artillery, and shelling, and these facilities, even in the best of circumstances, could easily be compromised and release these deadly pathogens. Now, like COVID, these pathogens know no borders. If they are inadvertently or purposely breached or compromised, they will quickly spread all throughout Europe, the United States, and the rest of the world, causing untold suffering and death. So in order to protect the American people, the people of Europe, the people around the world, these labs need to be shut down immediately, and the pathogens that they hold need to be destroyed.
Now understand, these are not American labs to shut down. Biden and Harris don't run the labs. And so she is, again, running interference for Putin, because that's effectively what this does, by shifting the conversation into we have hostilities going on. And if Ukrainian labs are hit, damaged, destroyed, it's conceivable that pathogens could be released. Now, that part is true, but it's not even close to being the story of what's going on in Ukraine. And of course, the right under the surface thing about all of this is, again, because when all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. The story they really want. Why are they talking about this? They're talking about this because they want to attack the U.S. rather than just Putin invaded Ukraine. That's what we should be talking about here. Let's listen to a little bit more.
Instead of trying to cover this up, the Biden-Harris administration needs to work with Russia, Ukraine, NATO, the UN to immediately implement a ceasefire for all military action in the vicinity of these labs until they're secured and these pathogens are destroyed. In addition to all this, the U.S. funds around 300 biolabs around the world who are engaging in dangerous research, including gain of function, similar to the lab in Wuhan where COVID-19 may have originated from.
So listen, she now is talking about COVID might have come from the lab, and she's doing the same thing Tucker did, which is the fact. I mean, listen, guys, labs exist. Research is done. That yes, there. I told you earlier, there's labs all over the world. There's all sorts of different labs all over the world. There's a consortium called the Cooperative Threat Reduction Program. And what they do is they research pathogens. And when she goes from the problem is Ukraine to the point is the bio labs around the world, why would we shut all of them down? I mean, we need to do this research. Is she just saying the research shouldn't be done? There are no U.S. run bio labs in Ukraine. The country is one of many former Soviet Union countries and non-former Soviet Union countries that partner with the Department of Defense as part of this cooperative threat reduction program. It's public. Nothing's being covered up. Nothing's being covered up. The goal here is do research that would hopefully be able to prevent biological threats. It's not to create biological threats. So why would we shut down every lab everywhere? I just don't get how do we gain from not studying this stuff? And that seems to be what she's calling for. I was reminded, remember when Mike Pillow said he wants to sue all machines? It's like, what are you talking about, dude? Tulsi seems to be saying just shut down labs, just shut them down. And so this is typical Russian propaganda. For years, Russia has claimed that former Soviet countries are manufacturing biological weapons in labs funded by the U.S. It's an old Russian propaganda story. Now, thanks to Tucker Carlson, thanks to Tulsi Gabbard, they've mixed in there's something here related to the invasion and it's particularly pernicious or whatever. These are not secret labs. The details of American involvement is on U.S. government websites. And this program, the Biological Threat Reduction Program, dates all the way back to the 1990s. And there are no, I mean, listen, if you want to argue there should be no bio research done, well, okay, argue that absent this conflict and explain why research shouldn't be done. To me, it seems incredibly stupid to say we're not going to research it. Countries are developing bioweapons. We're not even going to research bioweapon defense. What? Why? That doesn't make any sense. And they continue to make these unsubstantiated claims, and they will continue because they are 2.3 million views of a video in which Tulsi has no clue what she's even talking about. This stuff gets clicks, so they're going to continue doing it. Last week, I had this video for you of UFC fighter Bryce Mitchell saying he knows nothing about Ukraine and Russia, and then he listed a bunch of conspiracies. He was naturally invited onto Tucker Carlson's show to give his expertise. Just as a reminder, here's the original viral clip from UFC fighter Bryce Mitchell, which we looked at last week.
Well, I just wanted to get your thoughts on the whole Russia and Ukraine situation.
You know, here's my first thought is I'm not going nowhere to fight none of these wars for these politicians. I'm staying at home. And when the war comes to Arkansas, I will dig my boots in the ground and I will die for everything I love. And I will not retreat. If okay. This country's invaded and everybody's saying, well, we got to evacuate. We got to leave. I will not. I will dig my boots in the Arkansas soil and I will fight for the people that I love, for the land that I love and the way of life that I love. But I'm not going overseas to fight. I don't know what's going on, to be honest, brother. I really don't. There's so much stuff, and I don't think nobody knows what's going on fully. There's been so much political corruption in that area. You got Biden and his son making a shit ton of money off of and using our tax dollars to bribe their people. That's treasonous, in my opinion.
Okay, so he said, remember, he doesn't know what's going on, but then he gave a whole bunch of unsubstantiated opinions. So, of course, he gets the hero's welcome on Tucker Carlson's program. No question whatsoever. Let's take a look at that.
Coming on, and for what you said, I haven't seen anybody express it better than you did. Why did you say that?
Well, thank you so much for having me, brother. And I said that because that's the first thing that I thought when he asked me, and I was trying to give him the best answer that I could. And that's just my genuine thoughts on the subject.
How do you get to be so honest when everyone else is afraid to say what they think?
Really getting, I mean, Tucker should be blushing over this, guys.
And you just kind of say it?
Well, I don't have to be worried about being fired from my job for saying what I want to say. There's a lot of people out there that do agree with me, but they can't say things that I get to say, even though they think them. They'll get fired from their job if they come out and say it.
Right. That is cancel culture.
White's pretty good with how he lets us talk and say what we want.
That is absolutely right and a fair thing to say. Now, people who say what you have said are often denounced as unpatriotic or traitors to their country. Does that confuse you, since the first thing you said was, I will fight and die for Arkansas?
By the way, they're pretending the controversy over this guy is that he said he wouldn't go and fight in Ukraine. That's not really the controversy. The controversy is he says, I don't know anything about what's going on, and I don't think anybody does, which is a classic move from these people to say, nope, anything you're hearing is probably not true. But then he spreads disinformation conspiracy theories. That's the problem. Not that he doesn't want to go and fight over there.
That'd be the greatest honor I could ever have, brother. So I'm far from not being a patriot. You know, that'd be the greatest thing I could do is die defending this land. So I'm not afraid to do that. I'm just not wanting to go waste my life fighting for some of these battles that I don't even believe in.
That's great. That nobody's criticizing him for that.
I believe our leaders, a lot of these elites, are guilty of treason. What they've done is just treasonous.
Right. And again, he just gets into who did treason and what exactly. When in the last segment he mentioned treason, he was talking about Joe and Hunter Biden. That's the treason. And this is exactly how people who don't know anything end up in positions where they're telling millions of people about their ignorant beliefs. Remember, he said, I don't know what's going on there. And then went on to give all sorts of different statements about what he thinks is going on. And he was wrong about all of it. He doesn't want to fight. Great. Lots of people don't. That makes a lot of sense. Why would you go over and fight there? You don't have to do that. That's not the moral test you have to pass. But then he repeats all of this nonsense, and then Tucker brings him on to repeat it again. It's really dangerous stuff that's going on right now in right-wing media. We have a voicemail number, 2192-DAVID-P. Trump's performance on Saturday at his rally was so bad that I got way more people angry with me for my coverage of the rally than normal. Here's one example.
David Packman, this is your only friend from Cleveland, Ohio, a conservative,
okay,
responding to your pathetic performance last night. Did you get a pink slip for your performance last night?
No, I mean, I'm in charge. Who's going to fire me?
Interrupting Trump at your whim. Is that what liberals find entertaining? Seriously, did you earn a paycheck for that?
Yes.
You know, David, Trump's rallies are censored. And
no, they're not. Trump's rallies are not censored.
Have limited exposure because of big tech censorship.
That's completely untrue. All sorts of right-wing YouTube channels and Facebook pages streamed the rally live and had hundreds of thousands of viewers.
Because they fear the truth, and that's why I got stuck with you and realized that what a classless, shameless, ignorant liberal you are.
Yeah, anyway, he goes on for two more minutes, but the worse Trump's performances are, the more messages like that I get. Really, really quite a trend that we see. We have a great bonus show for you today. We will talk about who would stay and fight if Russia invaded the U.S. There's a new poll and much, much more. Sign up at joinpacman.com and get instant access to the world famous bonus show, much hated by Alex Jones.
Oh, the bonus show where you want to make money. Everybody else that makes money to fund themselves is bad.
Hey there, folks. Glad you could join me for all the best, the smoothest of the smooth, the cool and gentle sounds of what we call jazz.
Tired of the fluffy stuff? At WRCT Pittsburgh, jazz is a one-song word.
D
DJ Heim from Forest, and you're listening to 88.3 WRCT.
Would you like to take the sounds of your favorite radio station to places you never thought possible? Well, now you can, because WRCT is live on the internet. Just point your browser to www.wrct.org and click on our live MP3 broadcast. Now you can go out of town without any feelings of loss or regret for leaving us behind, because we're just a mouse click away. WRCT, live on the internet. Because why should Pittsburgh have all the fun?
Hello, my fellow Americans. I would just like to say now, as an expert on the subject, that WRCT Pittsburgh does not blow. Thank you.
DJ Heim from Forest, and you're listening to 88.3 WRCT.
WRCT, the in sound from way out.
Hey there, folks. Glad you could join me for all the best, the smoothest of the smooth, the cool and gentle sounds of what we call jazz.
Tired of the fluffy stuff? At WRCT Pittsburgh, jazz is a one-song word.
For those of you concerned with your health and the new USDA organic product standards, WRCT Pittsburgh would like to inform you that all our DJs are genetically modified to bring you best music.
Is being decimated before the eyes of the world. The impact on civilians is reaching terrifying proportions.
As UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres calls for peace in Ukraine, we go to Kyiv, where the mayor has announced a 35-hour curfew after Russia's strikes intensify in the capital. We'll also speak to Joshua Yaffa of The New Yorker. He just left Ukraine after reporting on the Russian invasion for the past 2 weeks. And we look at how the Biden administration's refusing to directly condemn Saudi Arabia for executing 81 men in its largest mass execution ever.
Does the United States also condemn the executions?
Well, we've seen these reports that Saudi Arabia executed 81 people on March 12th. We continue to raise with Saudi Arabia the need to ensure fair trial guarantees, freedom from arbitrary and extrajudicial detention, transparency, the rule of law, and freedom of religion and belief.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The mayor of Kyiv has declared a 36-hour curfew. Expected to ask for more lethal weapons and for the U.S. to broker a deal that would see MiG fighter jets transferred from Poland to Ukraine. Meanwhile, talks between Ukraine and Russia are resuming today after headlines will go to Ukraine for the latest. In Moscow, an employee of the main state-owned television station, Channel One, burst onto the set during Monday evening's live news broadcast holding a sign reading, "No war, don't believe the propaganda," in English and Russian. "They're lying to you here." The protester, Channel One producer and editor, Marina Ovsyannikova, appeared on screen for several seconds, shouting, "Stop the war, no to war," before the camera cut away. Listen carefully.
Російський прем'єр подчеркнув, надо усилити сотрудничество в рамках союзного государства, а на совещании в правительстве обсуждали, как сохранить доступность.
Marina Ovsyannikova was arrested by officers with Russia's Interior Ministry. She since disappeared and reportedly has no access to legal representation. Ahead of her protest, she recorded a video saying she'd worked for years spreading Kremlin propaganda as a producer at Channel One.
I'm ashamed I allowed lies to be told on TV screens. I'm ashamed I allowed Russian people to be fooled. We were silent in 2014 when it all started.